What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
The Prostitution Reform Act, which decriminalises sex work in New Zealand, was passed 15 years ago in June 2003. It theoretically brought sex workers out of the darkness, no longer treating them like second-class workers, and gave them access to the health and safety standards any other workers are entitled to. While decriminalisation is arguably the most pragmatic way to deal with prostitution, it's necessary to remain critical of its apparent benefits. I spoke with Otago University Associate Professor Gillian Abel, an academic who's been looking into sex work for decades. I offered to do a review of the evolution of health and safety in the sex work industry since the decriminalisation, and started by asking her to explain what the situation was like, health and safety-wise, prior to 2003.
It wasn't a very good situation before because, you know, while sex workers themselves weren't criminalised, all the activities were. So it made it impossible for them to actually work without breaking the law. So they weren't allowed to solicit, and you weren't allowed to own or operate a brothel, and you weren't allowed to live off the avails of prostitution. So with the result that when you're involved in illegal activities, when the crime is committed against you or you're exploited, you're not going to report it to police or authorities because you'd be outing yourself as involved in something illegal. So it was very much underground, and there was a lot of exploitation going on within brothels and outside of that. And sex workers had a very difficult time negotiating with clients, you know, without incriminating themselves, yeah.
Since the Prostitution Reform Act, has there been any visible change in the lives of these sex workers regarding their health standards and the safety standards?
Yeah, I mean, there's been an immense change. There are now safety and health guidelines which are put out by the Department of Labour. The power has kind of shifted within brothels, so whereas the power was always with the operator, now the sex worker has the power because, you know, they can complain if they are exploited or if there are bad working conditions, and, you know, some do. So definitely, in terms of occupational safety and health in brothels, it's changed immensely. Also with the ability to negotiate, say, sex with clients, you know, and because that's written within the Prostitution Reform Act that if all parties have to take steps to ensure protection in all cases of sex. And so whereas before, the sex workers really had to negotiate with clients who didn't want to use, and it would be a lug argument. Now it's the law, and so they just say, yeah, it's not me, it's the law that says you have to. So it kind of makes that ability to negotiate safe sex a lot easier, as well as the ability to say no. So it's also within the Prostitution Reform Act that you can refuse to see a client. You don't have to, even if you agree to go with a client, you don't have to go through with the contract. If something happens, you can end it right there. And then when it comes to street-based sex workers, they had to just jump into cars because you didn't want to hang around long on the street in case, you know, police saw you. That didn't give them the opportunity to actually have a look and screen the clients, to talk to them, and then make a decision as to whether to get into the car or not. And they've really got an improved relationship with police. So, you know, not all of them, but some of them do report crimes that are committed against them.
Even though sex workers have been given a place to work that is more official, there is still street-based prostitution. How can we explain that?
They're very different populations. So on the streets, they tend to be less educated, you know, have left school, a lot of experience, statutory care and protection as a youngster, and a lot have come onto the street at a fairly young age, and most have never had any other form of employment. There's also higher use of drugs on the street, which, you know, and all of this makes it impossible for them to kind of get a footing within brothels or abide by the laws within brothels, really.
I was also talking to transsexual and transgender sex workers who seem to say that it's pretty hard for them to find a spot in a brothel, and so hence also working on the streets.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so most transgender, well, some do work off the internet now and work privately, but the majority have tended to work on the street as well. And a lot of experience bullying and non-acceptance of their gender identity as youngsters, and sort of often run away and sort of found a community that they can fit into on the street, which is really supportive for them. I think a lot of people thought that when decriminalisation happened that suddenly everybody would move indoors. It's not the case, and I think there'll always be a place for street-based sex work.
What kind of specific issues street-based sex workers are confronted with?
They're highly stigmatised and they experience some abuse by people who drive past. You know, they regularly have things thrown at them, verbal abuse hurled at them from car windows, and it is slightly more dangerous on the street than working indoors where you've got people nearby. So once you get into a car, you know, you can be taken anywhere, whereas if you're working in a brothel, you've got people nearby you can call on if you get into trouble.
Yeah, I was reading that in Christchurch the situation is a bit complicated sometimes between local residents and sex workers, and there's been quite a lot of calls made to the police and a little bit of tension there.
It's as a result of the earthquake, because, you know, Manchester Street and Latimer Square were the traditional places where sex work happened before the earthquake, and then with the 2011 earthquake, you know, the city centre was cordoned off. So the street-based workers had to, you know, some left sex work, some sort of moved off to another city, but those who stayed had to move location. Many of them moved across Beeley Ave into the section of Manchester Street, which is purely residential. There's been a huge effort by NZPC, by YCD, Youth Cultural Development, and by others involved to move those people back. So every, you know, they go down there several times and ask them to move across Beeley Ave, and most have now complied. There's very few that are remaining that persist in going back.
There's also been four pretty well-publicised murders in Christchurch since of sex workers since the decriminalisation in 2003. You know, how you mentioned that there is still a stigma against sex workers. I suppose in the 15 years since decriminalisation, that unfortunately hasn't sort of been removed, and population is still quite hostile to sex workers.
It has improved, but it's still, and it will never be destigmatised, but it certainly has improved in terms of the way the general public talk about sex work, I think, and the use of now the term sex work instead of prostitution. It's just, it has been slightly destigmatised, but they will always, and especially against street-based workers, because they are visible. You know, you don't see people who are working inside, which is the majority.
Yeah.
It's very few in terms of percentage of sex workers that work on the street. But, yeah, they are visible, and that's why people tend to get mostly upset with street-based workers.
You were saying before that the relationship between sex workers and the police has greatly improved.
Yeah.
Does it mean that sex workers can actually feel like they can rely on the police now, and that they can report instances of sexual assault or rape or verbal abuse, anything?
Yeah, it doesn't mean to say all sex workers do report, because sometimes they weigh up whether they think it's important enough, whether they're going to report it or not. But yes, many of them now do report things to the police. Most of them have said, you know, that they've been treated really positively by by police and their interaction. And police actively pursue crimes committed against sex workers. You know, often they were seen as deserving of ill treatment, you know, prior to decriminalisation, because they made the choice to work and so they deserve what they get, kind of thing. But that kind of talk is gone now. They are treated seriously by both the police and the courts, so that things that have come to court, the perpetrators have been sentenced similarly to if that crime had been committed against any other person in society, which I can't say really happened prior to decriminalisation.
I also read that you were currently working on a new research project about exploring violence against street-based sex workers. Is that correct?
Well, I'm busy looking at violence as well as community tensions, yes.
Okay.
So I'm working with the Christchurch City Council as well in trying to address the tensions happening here on the street.
Yes. Do you think it's important to kind of regularly do a little review of the current situation and not just think that just because we have decriminalised sex work then everything's better?
I think it's really important to carry on, and always little things emerge that need to be looked into. You know, with the increasing use of the internet, I'm also doing a study looking at that, because things change. You know, if people are operating off the internet, that's not really covered under the Prostitution Reform Act, and what new things does this introduce?
Yeah.
Are there new dangers that maybe weren't apparent when people worked in Brussels. So I think there's always room for more research, as well as the fact that we're still the only country that has gone down the track of decriminalisation, and a lot of countries are really looking, activists and researchers and so on, are looking to New Zealand for the evidence to back their arguments for decriminalisation, because it is being considered in a number of countries.
Would you say that there is, in the balance of benefits and lack of benefit, would you say that the Prostitution Reform Act has actually had very beneficial results?
I think it's had it's been very beneficial. And if you look at any other way of regulating sex work, whether it's criminalisation of sex workers, criminalisation of clients, or total abolitionism or legalisation, the evidence is not there to show that it's, in fact, it causes more damage than it does good. Mm. Whereas decriminalisation is the only way of regulating that has shown positive changes. If you're looking at making policy and it should be evidence-based, you need to look at decriminalisation, because it is the only way that's shown that's been of any benefit.
Worry Week on The Wire.